Chapter 20. The Fall of Villamus. Sirion was the last to join them. He pounded into the room, bolter in hand, almost skidding to a halt on the litany-etched stone floor. Footsteps, a great many footsteps, clattered in the corridors some way behind him.
"I got lost," he admitted.
Zarl and Talos moved with practiced fluidity, their movements twinned as they took positions either side of the wide doorway Sirion had just used as an entrance.
"It sounds as though you brought friends," the prophet remarked. "How many?"
Sirion stood with Mercutian, both of them readying bolters. Uzas ignored his brothers, though his helmed head snapped around with a hunting dog's eagerness when he heard the approaching footsteps.
"Enough," said Sirion. "Dozens, but they're only human. I haven't seen a single marine errant."
The warrior glanced around the chamber for the first time, seeing the immense circular hall cleared of all furniture. Everything, every dead body, every pew seat and ornate table, had been dragged to the chamber's sides, leaving the middle bare.
"You've been busy," Sirion said.
The others ignored his comment, which neither annoyed nor surprised him. Talos slapped his crackling sword blade against the stonework to get Uzaz's attention. It left a scorch mark.
"Bolter," he said. "What? Use your bolter, brother. We're taking a defensive position in this chamber. Too many foes to charge."
Uzaz hesitated, perhaps not comprehending. He looked down at the axe and gladius in his hands.
"Use your bolter," Zarl snapped. "Look at us against this wall, freak. Does it look like we're charging?"
Uzas sheathed his weapons at last and unlimbered his bolter. It caught the prophet's eye with the sting of memory, the same relic Malkarion had commissioned to honor Uzas's deeds in a brighter, better age.
"Uzas," he said.
Talos could hear the boot steps drawing closer, along with the shouted, oath-rich encouragements of the squad's officers.
"Brother, I remember when you were given that weapon. Do you?"
Uzas clutched the bolter tighter.
Yes, the prophet nodded. "Use it well. Here they come."
"I hear them,"
came a human voice, frail and thin compared to the rumbling growls of the legionary's speech. Talos nodded to Zarl, and they moved around the corner as one. Bolters crashed in dark hands, shuddering as they spat shells down the corridor. Both warriors were back in cover before the first Laz streak slashed through the doorway in response.
"That one you hit in the face," Zarl chuckled. "Both bolts. His head turned into red mist. I can hear his men choking on it."
Talos reloaded, catching the spent magazine and storing it away.
"Focus."
The chains on his armor rattled against the ceramite, though he wasn't moving. Zarl flicked a glance at his own pauldron, where the chained skulls were knocking together as if in a breeze.
"About time,"
Mercutian muttered. First Claw averted their eyes from the center of the room, as the light first began to manifest. Sourceless wind rushed against their armor, a vortex in reverse, breathing cold air against the implacable ceramite. The faintest touch of ice rime formed on the edges of their armor, while the blood-stained clothing worn by the dead bodies spread around the chamber, crumpled and flapped in the building gale.
"Such drama,"
Sirion bared his teeth behind his faceplate. A sonic boom of violated air shattered several of the overturned tables, blasting their wreckage against the walls. The light receded, crumbling back into the nothingness from whence it came. Five figures stood in the chamber's heart. Five figures in desecrated armor, strewn with talismans and engraved with bronze runes. Four of them eclipsed the fifth, their immense Terminator warplate giving guttural snarls as they viewed their surroundings, tusked helms turning this way and that. The fifth was bareheaded, dwarfed by the others in stature, yet emanating an amused, ugly charisma from the glint in his eyes to the confident smirk.
"You have done well,"
grinned Lord Huron of the Red Corsairs. Varial walked in calm, impassive reflection, heading through countless corridors on his way to the observation deck. It was time to take stock, and drawing close to the time when a decision must be made. To that end, the apothecary made his way to one of the few places he could be assured of some peace. He always felt his thoughts flowed clearest when staring out into the humbling reaches of space. The first phase was complete, with the Night Lords evidently successful in shutting down one of the secondary power feeds within the walls of Villamus. Huron had chosen his target well. With that sub-district's generatorum offline, the Fortress Monastery was vulnerable to an attack far more insidious than the relative barbarism of an orbital strike. Rather than insist his oath-bound hirelings martyr themselves for his cause, Huron required them to do nothing more than deactivate the outlying shields preventing teleportation, and clear enough space in various chambers for several of his own squads to manifest directly within the fortress. Thus began the second phase, and if Huron's forces proceeded at the expected pace, they would still encounter insignificant resistance. It was a plan not entirely without elegance, chosen because little else had any hope of success. Assaulting a fortress monastery with anything other than esoteric cunning was doomed to failure. The fact this assault was deemed to be so decisive and without risk was, in the Flayer's mind, nothing short of miraculous. He could almost imagine Imperial archives referencing this defeat for centuries to come, citing the perils of leaving a chapter's sanctuary so woefully unprotected. With its initial defenses rendered worthless, Villamus now stood on the edge of true invasion. Huron would drag his terminators down to the surface through the arcane complexities of teleportation, manifesting at the preset coordinates cleared by the 8th Legion infiltrators. From there, each squad would seek to link up on the march to the primary power relay station, deeper within the monastery's core. A Terminator advance, while ponderous, would break everything before it. With 50 of his chosen elite in the priceless suits of warplate, reinforced by 8 claws from the Covenant, Varial doubted Huron would have anything to worry about. The destruction of this inner sanctum would supposedly herald the end game. For now, even with its orbital platforms blinded and powerless, and even with its protective shields dead, Villamus remained an unapproachable bastion, capable of annihilating any ground forces that dared lay siege at its staggering walls. Any attempt to make a landing would be met with withering fire from the legion of turrets and missile silos lining the battlements. Varial reached the observation deck, striding to one of the glass walls and gazing down at the barren rock of a world. From orbit, it seemed almost a stalemate. The raider fleet approaching the world couldn't drop warriors in support. Gunships and drop pods remained clutched in loading bays, filled with eager warriors unable to see battle. Villamus was visible to the naked eye even from this altitude, but it failed to inspire anything but contempt in the Flayer's thoughts. A vast spire of uninspiring red stone, soon to be cleansed of anything even remotely valuable. The Tyrant's Terminator elite were at work down there, cutting their way to the primary energy relay sector, ready to starve Villamus's last defenses of the power they craved in order to fire. Varial stared at the world in silence, severing himself from the Vox channels to avoid the pre-battle tedium of his brothers swearing oaths to powers they barely understood. He needed time to think, despite doing little else these last weeks. At the cusp of the second phase's completion, Varial would need to act one way or the other. With his best estimate, that gave him less than an hour to make a choice. The creature glared at Talos as it clutched the tyrant's shoulder guard. He was tempted to swat the ugly little thing with the flat of his blade and wipe its alien stare clean off its beady-eyed face. Spindly, cursed in appearance with an excess of protruding bones at its ribs and ungainly joints, the Xenos wretch rode on the warlord's armor, occasionally twisting its features into a grimace. Huron's focus was elsewhere. After greeting the warriors of the Eighth Legion, he'd immediately set to advancing through the hallways, every tread crushing marble and onyx floor tiling beneath his boots, and testing the abused Vox network in a bid to link up with his other squads. The Terminators flanked their lord, forming a ceramide shell as they marched, filling the breadth of even the widest corridors. Behind them, First Claw walked in relative quiet, weapons lowered, each member's thoughts sealed within his own helm. The few squads of uniformed chapter serfs that didn't immediately flee died to the chattering crash of Terminator storm bolters. Several times, the horde stalked over ground thickly pasted with organic mush from shell-burst bodies. The Corsairs appeared no different, but First Claw was stained red to their shins. Talos recognized the smell thickening the air, knowing the same spicy, sulfur-copper reek of ruptured human meat from every battlefield he could remember. Yet most recently, it had been richest on the corrupted decks of Hell's Iris. The scent saturated even the metal hull of Huron's outpost, doubtless seeping in from the Maelstrom's poisoned winds. No wonder mutation ran rife.
"What is that thing?" Zarl voxed.
In close proximity, communications worked, though in a scratchingly weak, half-hearted way.
"I asked Varial once."
Talos couldn't stop staring at the little beast thing.
"Huron calls it a Hamadria, apparently. It's a psychic creature, mind-bonded to the tyrant."
Zarl curled his lip.
"I want to slap it off his back and stamp on its leering face."
"You and I both, brother."
Huron brought the procession to a halt with a raised hand.
"Hold."
The Corsair's eyes already bloodshot and narrowed by the pain of simply existing in his reconstructed state, twitched as he concentrated. The creature on his back drooled a viscous, silvery slime from its chittering maw. It bleached the paint from Huron's armor where it dripped.
"We are close now, and several of our kin squads draw near. Come, brothers, the prize is almost ours. Then this siege can truly begin."
"Wait," Uzas said. "I hear something."
To say they arrived in orderly formation would be to do them an injustice. The warriors' cohesion far exceeded anything seen in the Blood Reaver's attack force. In pristine ceramite of blue and white, matching the halved heraldries of ancient Terran knights, a single squad of warriors threw themselves into cover at the far end of the corridor. Their movements were utterly economical, ruthless in their soldierly precision, taking positions in total silence, but for the growl of armor and the crack of bolter stocks against shoulder guards as each of them took aim. Their leader was unhelmed, his stern features molded into a mask of absolute resolve. Even over the distance, Talos knew that look, and could recall when he'd worn it himself. The defiance in the warrior's gaze made the prophet's skin crawl. Here was a man that believed in his cause. He felt no doubt, no hesitation, no temptation to rack his mind in the futile second-guessing of sworn duty. His life was unclouded by broken oaths, and the legacy of mistrust and confusion that drifted in the wake of every betrayal. Talos saw all of this in the time it took the warrior to raise his chainsword, a single second spent recognizing the eyes of one who lived his life according to Talos's own long-abandoned convictions. He heard Mercutian say in rare Nostraman gutter tongue,
"Oh, shit."
The prophet and his brothers moved in a unity of their own, despite no signal passing between any of them. Clutching weapons tightly to their chests, First Claw stepped into the hulking shadows of the Terminators.
"Kill them!"
Huron sneered, already advancing in a halting, hitching stride. His Terminators followed, leaning forwards into onerous runs, keeping pace and enclosing their lord, shielding him with their armored bodies. Their tread was enough to send an arrhythmic pulse through the ground. Ahead of them, the brother sergeant chopped the air with his howling chain blade, and the Marine's errand filled the corridor with a demolishing hail of bolter shells. Detonating shells burst against the layered ceramite, shrapnel clattering against the walls in gritty hail. Even protected as they were in their armor, the corsairs growled and cursed. First Claw kept themselves in the Terminator's wake, shadowing their steps, letting the corsair elite wade through the enemy fire. Zal's snigger came over the vox, and Talos felt himself grinning.
"You're doing fine, brothers,"
Sirion mocked the corsairs over the squad's secure vox channel. The gore scent was buried now, hidden beneath the chemical tang of bolter discharge and the powdery reek of physoline dust.
"Fight,"
one of the Terminators growled in a grey-voiced drone of vox.
"Fight, you spineless Nostraman bastards!"
First Claw didn't answer, though their helms gave subtle clicks, betraying the laughter they shared in private. As the Corsair warrior reloaded his storm bolter, a shell cracked against his helm, shattering both tusks and earning a pained grunt. The sound of so many bolts striking home was a rainstorm on a roof of corrugated iron. Over the din, Talos heard the Marine's errant sergeant give that ancient cry,
"For the Emperor!"
Ah, the whispery tendrils of nostalgia. The Prophet smiled again, even as the warrior in front of him buckled and crashed to his knees, finally felled by massed bolter fire. Talos moved in the same moment, slipping into another Terminator's shadow, sharing the living, cursing cover with Mercutian.
"Charge!"
Huron screamed the order in two voices when the vocalizer built into his throat took over from his damaged vocal cords. His warriors powered forwards, lowering their bolters and hefting energized mauls.
"We should take these fools everywhere,"
Sirion suggested.
"Blood!" Uzas whispered over the vox. "Blood for the blood god!"
Zal blindfired around the bulk of the Terminator he was using as a shield. Talos and Mercutian joined in, and the Prophet risked a glance around his reluctant protector's shoulder guard. He saw the Marines' errant falling back in supreme order, abandoning their dead, still pouring out half a squad's worth of fire. Tenacious dogs, these Marines' errant. Their sergeant was down, his legs stretched out slack and useless, while he used his own body to defend two of his men crouching behind him. The two warriors dragged him back as they fired over his shoulders, their gunfire adding to the meticulously clockwork crack, crack, crack of his pistol. One of them struck Huron. They all heard the thudding kick of a bolt shell hitting home and the crumpling burst of the reactive shell exploding against armor. The warlord staggered back between the members of First Claw. He had a single moment to curse the Night Lords for their apparent cowardice, and the fact he sensed the truth was written in a sneer across his features. He knew full well each of them was smiling behind their scarred helms. The instant passed. Huron threw himself back into the relentless advance, raising his mechanical right arm as if to warn the Marines' errant away before they committed some grievous error. In the Claw's palm, the spokes of an eight-bladed star led to a gaping, charred flamer nozzle, dripping colorless promethium fuel in its crudest, stinking raw form. The Marines' errant broke ranks at last, only for their retreating forms to become statuesque silhouettes in the flooding wash of white fire. One of them unleashed a chemical torrent from his own flamer, dousing two of the corsairs in corrosive splashes of liquid fire. Girded in the technological marvels that comprised each suit of tactical dreadnought armor, the Terminators shrugged their way through the flames. But the Marines' errant burned. They roared as they died, fighting as they dissolved, lashing out with weapons fused to melting fists. With their armor joints liquefying, running under their ceramite plating as molten sludge, the last marine's errant crashed to the ground. The corsairs kicked the burning husks aside and marched on.
"We are close,"
Huron growled between clenched steel teeth.
"So close."
He turned to the 8th Legion warriors to berate them for their pathetic show of timidity, to encourage them to push on and fight harder, so that they might all earn this great victory together. But when he turned, the hallway was empty, but for the marines errant he had killed. Flames still licked at exposed patches of skin. Bolters were reduced to pools of grey slag, half puddled on the stone. The Night Lords were gone. An astral congregation came together in the skies above Villamus. For some time, Varial was content to watch the gathering from the observation deck of the corsair warship Misery's Crown, likening the drifting cruisers to sharks, assembling at the first scent of blood in the black water. These were his brothers, and this mighty armada was the greatest embodiment of all they'd achieved together. Below them, powerless and unprotected, was their greatest prize yet. The pride of Macragg drifted past, another stolen ship, its repainted hull proudly bedecked in blasphemous symbols of brass. Varial spent several minutes watching it sail by, observing the Pantheon stars carved into the warship's armor plating. The deck vibrated beneath his feet as the crown shivered in the planet's upper atmosphere, settling into a low orbit. He could make out the venomous birthright at the flotilla's edge, orbited almost parasitically by its support fleet. The lesser cruisers burned their engines hard to keep up with the warship as it coasted around the Red Corsair cruisers, unleashing its formidable weapon batteries on the deactivated orbital defenses. It was hardly alone in this spiteful act of aggression. Several vessels followed their own flight paths, reducing the missile platforms and defense satellites to wreck and ruin. Debris flared briefly in the void as it crashed harmlessly against the Birthright's shields, splashing gentle kaleidoscope ripples through the shimmering field of energy. Shoved by the momentum of their destruction, several of the large installations tumbled into the atmosphere in a slow motion that seemed almost graceful. Varial watched them burn and spin, dissolving in atmospheric fire as they fell to the planet below. He turned, finding what he sought almost immediately. Midnight against the nothingness, the Covenant of Blood was a long-bladed spear at the armada's heart. The winged skull of Nostromo stared from its battlemented aftcastle, its eyeless gaze leering across the fleet to meet the apothecary's stare. Varial was still watching the 8th Legion warship when the drop sirens started their industrial caterwauling. He turned from the observation portal, affixed his helm in place, and tuned into the melee of clashing, crashing voices.
"This is Varial."
"Flayer, this is Castalion."
"Hail, champion.
I have been trying to reach you, brother. Lord Huron has succeeded."
Bootsteps, clashes, and clanks in the background.
"Where are you?"
The gene seed vaults are still exhibiting signs of terminal flux in the cryogenic process. We cannot receive and store plunder from the surface with them in this condition."
"What do you mean, still? I don't understand."
"No," Varial thought. "Of course you don't.
I have recorded no fewer than 13 specific notations in the last month, citing that our ship's vault is unacceptably temperamental." "Apothecary, I need a solution immediately. The chapter is deploying as we speak. Villamus's defenses are broken, and we are needed on the surface."
Varial let the silence run for 10 long, long seconds. He could almost hear his captain squirming.
"Flayer?"
"I have destroyed the servitors responsible for the improper rites of maintenance, champion. You have nothing to fear. The tyrant will assign no blame to you."
There was a pause.
"I am grateful, Varial."
"I need time, Castalion. We are one of the only vessels capable of transporting what we steal.
and I have no desire to stand before Lord Huron with the confession that we allowed laxity to destroy a quarter of the genetic treasure harvested from the world below. Another pause.
I'm placing my trust and my life in your hands.
Not for the first time, brother. I will join you in the second wave. Good hunting.
Variel waited for exactly 1 minute, counting the seconds in his head. Vox channels scrambled as he tuned through several frequencies.
This is the Flayer, he said at last. Do you know that name?
My lord, the voice replied. All know that name.
Very well. Secure an Arva shuttle to be launched the moment the starboard docking bay is clear. I need transport to the venomous birthright.
As you command, Flayer.
Variel heard the officer speaking off Vox, making arrangements. The transfer of personnel from ship to ship during such an operation was hardly an anomaly. But it required some creative planning, with the gunship fleet launching and the hangars so crowded by crew.
Deck Commander?
Variel interrupted the man's organizing.
Yes, sir?
I perform this duty for Lord Huron himself. If you fail me, you will be failing our master.
I will not fail, sir.
Variel killed the link and started walking.
The Corsair fleet is moving into drop formation, my lord.
The Exalted said nothing. It merely watched. Marlek of the Atramentar followed his master's gaze.
Talos was right. The first phase was laughably easy.
Garadon replied, the other Terminator clutching his massive warhammer in both hands, as if ready for a more immediate threat.
Easy for us. I'm sure if he'd entrusted his red corsairs to infiltrate the fortress, they'd have wasted hours on uncoordinated killing sprees. Do you underestimate our claw's finesse, brother?
Marlek just grunted for an answer. The Exalted snarled its first order in some time, sending mortal bridge officers moving to obey.
Launch Thunderhawks to retrieve the claws.
With a smile, or as close as the Exalted's twisted jaws ever came to one, it looked at its bodyguards.
See what we have done here. It murmured.
The creature exhaled slowly, the sound a mimic of a dying man's last difficult breath.
See how we brought a storm to a weatherless world. Underbellies of dark-hulled warships form the clouds. The rain is the burning hail of 100 drop pods. It begins,
the creature said.